Welcome to Skills Journey, hosted by Emil Rovenheimer and Yanni Brofenboer from PopUp, the People Upliftment Program. This is your passport to a transformative journey where we uncover the power of skills together. Hello, we are back. Emil and I have Lukas Lukhoff with us. He is all the way here from Hatfield City Improvement District, and we are in the second conversation with Lukas. And Lukas, thank you for joining us again and being here. And as we continue this conversation, we really look forward to what actually God is teaching us in our city, just about skills and the journeys that we're on, and that they're not all linear like we think. So will you please tell us about your journey? And as we were talking just before the session, you've got so much to teach us. Thank you for being here and being open and vulnerable in the conversation. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Yanni. I think this discussion brings about a lot of introspection.
Yes. All right.
And one thing back in your career, and I think one of the critical things, if we talk skills, that I got through my career was the relational management skill.
Because you started in banking.
In banking,
yes.
Right. So at a very early age of about 26, I got my first sort of supervisory position where people are reporting to you. So all of a sudden, there's some management skills that you got to learn. All right. So the easiest thing in the world is to manage yourself. All right. But the minute that you need to get results through people, the dynamic changed completely.
Yes.
All right. And I think probably that is one of the Achilles heels that we find in our country is the lack of proper management skills and how to deal with people effectively.
Yeah.
I really think it's a critical skill. I think management of people starts probably with a position of, I love people. I love people, all right, every one of them, all right. The cleaning team that I have in at the Hatfield CID, although the guy walk with a wheelie bin and a broom and a scoop or whatever, but he's not my cleaner, he's my ambassador. That's the way I see him, all right. And I think really very important, I think in my whole career, probably the biggest lesson is the management of relationships. And it's the management of relationships from the lowest to the highest level. I mean, I interact with the VC of the university. I interact with captains of industry. I interact with large CEOs of multi-billion rand companies. But I also interact with a guy that's standing begging on my streets to say, how can I help you? All right. And I think that's critical. I think from a skills perspective, probably one of the biggest gifts you can have is to know how to manage people and how to deal with people in a way that is not just to get – people are not a means to an end. No. People are very sacred in my opinion. They're all God's property. They're all people in the workshop. And how are you going to deal with them? And I think that is critical to understand. And it's one of the things that came quite easy for me because of my Christ-centeredness. Because I always ask myself the question, all right, so how would Christ do this thing? Would you please teach me now? And I openly admit that I don't always have the answers. And sometimes in very difficult situations, I don't know what to say. And then I keep quiet. And I listen. And I ask, Lord, what are you telling me to say? It's not that easy. Sometimes very difficult things. But I do think that the management of relationships at different levels is a critical and pivotal skill to have. In management, there are 18 different disciplines, all right? We all know that, okay? But it all boils down to how you work with people It's all about people. Mm. All right. We must understand that. And which I'm a bridge builder and I'm a fixer by nature. All right. So what we achieve and what we're doing at the Atfield CID, as I got very little to do with it. There's a whole network of people that work with me, all right, from the city council, from the city manager's office, the University of Pretoria, landlords, traders, informal traders, retail, everybody, all right. But you make sure that you make friends with those people, all right. I'm in the business of selling, not selling, sharing the dream of building a world-class suburb, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And people want to be part of that. They want to be part of this bigger dream because there is a bigger dream. And the dream is for God to reign in Atfield amongst those people.
Talk to me about this, Lucas, because, I mean, such a large part of your job is stakeholder management, clearly.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned in the first discussion that a lot of what you do is managing the stakeholder relationships with the businesses in your area, which is a lot of people. Those are a lot of stakeholders. And what would you say are the core skills that kind of prepared you to be able to manage such an immense network of stakeholder relationships? And perhaps looking back into your season in banking and perhaps even before that, what do you feel are kind of those core competencies or skills that you actually now use on a day-to-day basis to enable this incredible work to happen?
Emil, I think that, I think, as I said, it's a people game, right? All right. But it's not just that, all right? I mean, the old addict, plan, lead, organize, control, that always goes with it. So there are fundamental management skills that you got to have as a basis from where you start to work. And I really think that you will battle if you don't have those fundamental, foundational skills. All right. But I think built on that is also the issue of, so how do I, as the CEO of this company, what do I portray? All right. We always look for excellence, all right? We always look at creating value. We always look at how do we are being helpful to our stakeholders. Probably the thing that's the furthest away from us is arrogance, because that's not going to bring you anywhere.
How would you say you cultivated excellence in your life? Because clearly this is something that is important in your experience and even in your value proposition today. Is that something that you can kind of put your finger on to say, here's perhaps where I was challenged with my levels of excellence and this is how I've cultivated this to just be part of the fabric of what I do?
All right. So excellence, I think, firstly, is a thing that we aspire to forever. I don't think you arrive at that ever. I don't think so. Because every day we learn. We aspire to do good and better. And probably I've learned the most with the biggest mistakes I've made in my life. Those dark places where you know you've messed up. And when you and God alone are in conversation about how you've messed up and how you ask him to lead you to fix it. So for me, it's not the laughs and the highlights and the successes that's going to make from you a better leader. It's those tough situations, those mistakes that you've made, those very difficult conversations that you have to have. I think there's a critical issue there. It's probably, I think the truth sets us free, right? Okay. But we must always look for grace. We understand it, all right? So from that perspective, I think, treat people in such a way that they see that you respect them, that you value them, and that you're actually doing the work in their interest. You're on their side, all right? You're not there to fight for them, all right? You're there with them. So I have a sort of a fundamental thing that I live by. I say my mistakes is between me and God, right? And all the successes I'm going to give away. Sure. I want to give it to people, all right? Because that's not mine, all right? I mean, it's just grace, and that helps me a lot when I'm in discussion with people. To say, all right, let's first understand your side of the story. I have my side, but somewhere there's a middle way that we need to find that we will follow to make this thing work.
I love that there's so much humility in the discussion. That's what it feels to me like. Like there's who you are, Lucas, is I am a humble man. I love that. Even when we were just doing the testing of the voices on the program, you were like, who's Lucas? You're like, I'm just a man. I'm just a person. And then I love how you're not scared to say that I've grown from mistakes. Often I feel like in our generation, we're scared to say I made a mistake. I'm scared I'm going to lose my job or people will look at me differently when I actually say I'm sorry that I did something wrong or pivotal moments when you're humble enough to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, that does bring growth. And also feel like in communication, when we turn our hearts towards someone else, that's when you grow together and when a team actually works better together. And I can hear that also from just your conversation. You've invested so much in other people. Can we talk about some, like when you invest in other people as part of your team, and when you're like, I have so much dreams for one person, and then that person maybe just not coming to or bringing their part. Like, how do we do that as growing in management? How do we bring other people into growth with us?
All right, so I got many stories to tell with my team. One of the success stories, and I'll start with a success and then I'll talk about a failure as well. One of my street cleaners, my ambassadors, on the 7th of May graduated through UNISA. He's a qualified teacher now. So I'm exceedingly proud of Jabu Manamela, who said, no, I got to do something.
That's incredible.
And it's awesome. I have another guy, TJ Khafani. By the end of the year, he will be a civil engineer.
Wow.
And that's probably one of the greatest satisfactions that I get out of my job is to challenge those youngsters to say, when are you going to trade your overall for a suit?
Yeah, beautiful. Right?
You understand what I'm saying? When are you going to do that? Mm. Because let me just explain to you the benefit and how it is. And those two are already having an impact on the rest because I challenged my team to say, all right, have you thought about what your children's going to do?
All right. Sure.
You know, have you thought about that? Mm. I know, but you know, that's a tough question. I said, yes, it is. All right. We need to talk about the tough stuff. And then, you know, sometimes you got to have tough discussions with your people. One of my staff members had a drinking problem. But I love the guy, man. I mean, he was a wonderful, wonderful worker, all right? But unfortunately, alcohol got to him. And after the third final written warning, I must say, I mean, you got three final written warnings. I mean, I think it's a fair amount of grace, really. I had to call him in and say, my bud, I'm not doing this to you, and I'm not going to fire you, but would you do me a favor and would you resign? Because I really think that maybe God has got another plan for you, but it might not be here. You understand? Because as much as we want to have people succeed, when they choose a route, at one point, the truth must be spoken, all right? And it's not easy. Those are not easy, all right? But I think the way that you deal with it, in the manner that you deal with it, brings immense respect to the rest of the team, All right. And I think that's what it's all about. It's not a question that, no, he just got fired. No, absolutely not. It's rather a question of he fired himself. He got so many chances. All right. And I think that's what it's all about. As I said, I mean, I love my people.
Yeah.
When something goes wrong in their lives, I cry with them. Mm. I pray with them. We support them financially. Because ultimately, please understand, we work with people. Yeah. All right? And that's what it's all about.
I love how I can hear that you are a city changer. I can hear that your worldview is so Christ-centered. And I'm just thinking of when you had to ask the person to resign. Like, you're representing Christ in that moment. And I think for us, who we live by grace as well, but there's a certain point where truth is, so this is now the truth. And I, okay. Yeah. But that is the taste that you leave in his mouth. Also, if I have to think of Christ, he will also remember that. So I like that. Yeah, this is a good conversation, Lucas. Thank you so much for being so honest.
Lucas, I do want to kind of just get your perspective on something. I think working with people is incredibly difficult, right? And I think if we had to take a cross section of all the hard stuff that work requires, probably one of the most complex things that we ever do in our careers is to work with people. Yes, you know, nuclear physics is complicated and science is complicated, but the cause and effect relationships tend to be slightly more predictable. And there's a lot of people you can ask for insight and expertise into those things. But with people, there's kind of these soft skills that are really difficult to learn and they're really difficult to master even more.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got such a lot of exposure in that space, and clearly you've done a lot of work and still do a lot of work with that, because as you've said, you know, at some point in management and leadership, you come to a point where the work happens through people.
Right.
So everything is relationship driven. And it would be so interesting just to get your perspective on what do you think are the most valuable competencies, capabilities for someone to cultivate that would help them to become better at working with people, their most valuable asset, and maybe also some reflection around what do you think played a role in you developing those capabilities yourself?
Emil, I think the first point of departure is that first you got to see value in people. That's the first point of departure. Yeah. People are valuable, all right? From that perspective, is once you realize that this person is valuable, try and understand that person individually, because everyone's unique. All right. So I think the understanding of the uniqueness of every person is critically to understand. For one person, you can be really tough and lay down the rules, and the other person, you say, don't you think you can do a little better? You understand? There's a softer approach. So I think trying to understand every individual's makeup and get to his heart and mind through the dream that you have for whatever organization that you have. When I shared the dream of we will be a world-class suburb and that you are not my street cleaners, and you are not my security, but you're my ambassadors. Immediately, it gave them some pride, all right? And pride is not a great word. I mean, it depends how you use it, all right? So we're not proudful at all. I mean, we're a company that wants to add value and create value. But we do it with humility and gratitude. But what's important from a people perspective, any manager would tell you that you're only as good as the people around you. So how are you going to get that individual to willingly go the extra mile for you? I think that's the secret. I really think that's the secret. You as the manager must find a way that person that you dependent on will willingly go the extra mile for you. As an example, I can talk about my safety and security manager, Dion van Rensburg, who almost spent 18 hours a day on site, you know, making sure that people are safe. And I want to share this because I think it's critical. I never experienced this, and I think it's very important that I do. In Dion's interview, Dion's a soldier, right? Okay. You understand the rough part of the world. I mean, he worked in the oil rigs, and he's a rigger and all that sort of stuff. And I really believe that God sent him to me to come and help me because I got a different role, and Dion's got a role to play. All right. And when we asked him the question, Dion, why are you the perfect guy for the job? Why are you the right guy? He made this statement. He said, because I'm willing to die for it. And it blew us away. It really blew us away to say that I'm so committed that I'm willing to die in these streets of Hatfield to ensure that we fight the work of the wicked. You understand? And I think all that I do in managing Dion is to make sure that Dion gets what he wants, all right, and show appreciation. Because I think recognition and appreciation goes a long way with people if you want the best out of them. You know, people can be very difficult. I mean, we all know the pendulum. If it goes the wrong way, it will end up in sabotage. They will sabotage you. And on the other side of the pendulum is absolute going full commitment and going the extra mile for you. I don't want my people to be in the middle. I don't think that's where we want our people. You want the pendulum to be on that side where I am making a contribution. But I think recognition and gratitude and then obviously suitable reward is probably some of the ingredients that will help you to build a better team.
Thank you, Lucas. That is so good and valuable. Thank you. Just for me personally also, I thought, sure, I think I'd like to drink some coffee with Lucas and learn a little bit more. Luckily, we are not done. We have one more discussion with you. So thank you for joining us and thank you for being here. And we'll see you again.
Thank you very much.